Over the last 12 months, the Isle of Man has continued a proud reputation in recent times for providing talented prospects to bring into the world of cycling. Mark Cavendish, Tyler Hannay, Max Walker, Lizzie Holden and Becky Story are just some of those from the island making a name for themselves at the top level right now. Those big names, of course, had to start somewhere though, and a lot of the time they can trace their roots back to the junior setup here on Manx Shores. With the latest crop of young talent starting to emerge, Dot Tilbury remains at the beating heart of a system which continues to give local riders a platform to shine. So, heading into the 2024 season and with more exciting opportunities on the horizon, we spoke with Dot to hear about the plans for Manx Junior Cycling for the latest campaign.
Well, it's been pretty hectic because in February we took a big party to the track at Derby and we had about 20-odd riders getting through their paces and everything, and some are getting very good on the track, and they've been going to the regional schools of racing, which are run by British Cycling, and you have to be nominated for these. And the big thing is if you get on the national school of racing, and we're sort of on the cusp of maybe a couple of those, so we're looking forward to that. And then we had a trip, our first off-island trip, with a whole host of riders. I think we had about 4 minibuses and Uncle Tom Cobley and all. And we had a great time at Southport in what we call the Dolan Series. But it slightly changed this year and it was the first one. And of course, a friend of ours, Terry Dolan, who makes the Dolan bikes, he sort of supports this race. And we had just the best turnout of riders and we had lots of wins and it was very successful. And then last weekend, this weekend just gone, we've been to Pembrey in Wales, and this was the first round of the National Series, which is run under British Cycling. And we had 10 riders and they all acquitted themselves brilliantly, considering we haven't even started our season over here yet. So they've had no road racing craft practiced. So they were just thrown in the deep end and we said, get on with it. But they all did brilliant. And we had an under 12 rider with us, Tommy Bass, who was leading it right up to the last one, and it was 2 seconds at the end, but you know, it was great. And all the other riders rode really well, and they just need to get their race legs on and they'll be flying.
And like you say there, it's been pretty busy before, as you say, the season's even started, both in the track and the road racing side of things. So how important is that, do you believe, with your experience in the development for these riders to get the ball rolling very quickly before the, you know, the season in inverted commas actually gets underway?
Well, we do all sorts of things during the winter. We have the Braid Hall we use for turbo sessions, which is taken by Elliot Moore and Eleanor Davies, and a few very... We had Max Walker one night. He had a night off and we were stuck and he came up and he took the kids for a turbo session. So it was a great to have Max up there. And then there's also roller sessions taken by Rob Holden. And so they've got, you know, things to tick over and they go on club runs during the winter. But that's sort of to get your fitness, and there's nothing like racing to get your race fit. It's like everything, you know, the actual thing is what it's all about.
And as we speak right now, actually, just the other day, in fact, there was a taster session held in the junior cycling side of things for people to give it a go and get a bit of a flavour of what it's like. So how well attended was it? How well did it go?
Oh, it was brilliant. You never know what's going to happen. You think, what if nobody turns up? And then, you know, they start coming over the bridge at the NSC. And we had a real good crowd there. And I think we've signed on about 150 riders already. And we start off the session with the stabilisers and balance bikes, so as young as 2 really, they're doing a lap of the NSC, and then we do in school years, and anybody born in, well, I can't think of the date, but you know, from upwards. And the little ones have one lap, that's the smaller ones who can ride without the stabilisers or the balance bikes, and then we just move up in the year you were born, and it goes up with laps as you get older. And you go in the pen and then you get started, and it's all very slick and very well run.
In the last 12 months or so, we've seen some of the Isle of Man's younger prospects in cycling start to become a little more prominent. Just think of names the likes of Zach Walker in there, Ralph Holden, Ruby Oakes, Sophie Smith. Yeah. So from your perspective, who might have seen some of these coming through the junior setup before they moved up to where they are now, how proud does it make you feel to see more of those starting to make their way into the system towards the senior racing?
It's amazing. And, you know, you just sort of think, you remember when they started, when they were sort of like 6 or 5 or whatever they were. And, you know, they've come through it all. And it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, there's so many kids wanting to get on the bandwagon. So you've really got to be exceptional. And then you read about the success that they are having. And it makes you very proud, and proud for the Isle of Man. And we do punch above our weight with cycling, because people always say to me, how do you keep producing these cyclists? And I said, oh, it's the sea journey. You know, we throw them on the boat. And then we say, and we had a bit of a bad journey back the other night, and they all survived. And you just think, this is why they're so tough, because, you know, it's not just going up the motorway and parking your car, and they've got to be a bit independent and, you know, get ready to get on the track and everything. And British cycling coaches always say that the Manx boys and girls are the best to take away, because they're used to travelling and, you know, having a, you know, a ticket to get on the boat and have their case packed, and it's what they've learned as they've come through the ranks. So it makes us very proud.
Just on that point there, you say it isn't just the case in cycling, but in numerous other sports as well, of athletes and coaches and parents and guardians, or, you know, having to travel off island, go quite literally go the extra mile to get to these events and get that experience. Do you think that sort of, let's call it a Manx resilience almost, is embedded in them from such a young age, but also can have huge benefits for them going forwards, that they get used to having to go through that process from such an early stage?
Oh, I think it's very important. And I think now, if you go to university or college, if that's what you want to do, or if you go for a job interview even, people want to know what you do outside school. You know, it's not all about, you know, studying and getting your exams, which is important, but what you do with the rest of your life, whether it's dancing or sport or cycling or whatever. And I know that people have told me stories of kids who've done really well, and they've been down the cycling, and it's part of their CV when they go away to uni, and they do very well for themselves, because they've always had to work hard at whatever they do, and they've got this ethic, which is sort of a way of life for them.
And coming back to that point you made just a couple of moments ago about the steep learning curve that you sometimes have to go on as a youth and or junior cyclist trying to make the way forward. We spoke to Rob Holden a couple of months ago, and he mentioned that there's a lot of work going into this season in particular to try and find ways to help bridge that gap between junior and senior level. What do you think the Isle of Man does well in that respect already to try and prepare certain cyclists for senior level? And what do you think maybe could be added to make it even better?
Well, I think for one thing, it's sort of from, you know, when they're very young, from as young as 2, they come down, and if they really want to do it, there's a vehicle for them to adopt, and they just get knowledgeable, and all the parents are very close. You know, they come away to the races, and they get to know how it works. And I think there's great opportunity, because we have a wealth of talent in most sports, but particularly cycling on the Isle of Man. And there's always somebody you can go and ask, and they'll sort of, they might not know it, but they'll know a man or a woman who does know it. And I just think the networking is so much smaller than across. So you've got this body of people on the island, and they come to me and I say, oh, go and see so-and-so. Because it's, you know, we get help from everybody, like the Steam Packet and the Sports Council, and it's all sort of one big push to, you know, all the elements are there. And we're so grateful for all of, you know, and our main sponsor, RL360, who've been with us now for 30 years. So, you know, to have been with somebody for 30 years sponsoring them, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Looking ahead to this season then, and just a little bit on the landscape, in fact, because when we had this conversation around this time last year, I remember one of your comments was that with regards to the British cycling setup, there was quite a lot of emphasis going into last season on the track scene. So in terms of the landscape, is that going to be similar this year from what you understand, or has it changed a little bit? And if so, in what way?
No, it's probably still more important, really, because British cycling, whereas the likes of Mark Cavendish and Christian Varley were the first part of the first group of riders that went into the programme that Dave Brailsford and all that era set off. There were six riders and two of them were from the Isle of Man. So they don't do that anymore. They do it on the track, but not on the road. So people have found different ways to accommodate the loss of this British school of sort of, once you get out of juniors, it's all different. So, but there are ways, but you just have to adapt to the new ways. So, you know, we're on it like a car bonnet. We, you know, it's all in the plans. So, but again, it's not easy. And if you want to make it, you've got to, you know, sort of raise your game and go to the next level. But, you know, nothing's impossible. And the Isle of Man people are very good at working out what you've got to do. And I think, to be honest, the cyclists now, whereas you used to mature a bit later, now there's young British riders like the Tarling brothers who are very young and up there in the Paris-Roubaix, you know, coming 15th, which is like a tough man's race. And so you've got to be prepared a little bit earlier, maybe.
Just as you say that, again, just going back to my conversation with Rob Holden, actually, he said something similar along the lines of how early some of these teams are now bringing riders through, particularly in the female system, and the fact that they are expected almost to be getting to that level, to be in the setup at 18, 19 years of age, whereas they may have been in at 22, 23 years of age. So does that put more pressure on those, do you think, in general, trying to push in cycling at the moment to be better from an early age?
Well, I think, yes, that's a fair point. But I think if you really want to make it and you've got the talent, you know, you still read things about the odd rider who is not 19 or 20 and they've actually come through later on in life. But there is a trend now for younger riders to make it sort of sooner rather than later. But if you've got the results and you've proven yourself, then you'll get picked up by the right team. So I think it's a bit of both, really. But definitely I've noticed, you know, younger riders are prominent in the pro ranks, and they've got, you know, there's more development in the big teams, so they have a younger development section as well as the, you know, the top riders in the world.
Looking to the season ahead, starting out locally, now there will naturally be a busy schedule of events on and off Ireland. On Ireland, of course, one of the major ones will be the Youth and Junior Tour coming in May, but there are many other things besides going on in the junior cycling side of things. So just give us an overview of what's coming up, I suppose, over the next couple of weeks and months.
Well, there's the local scene, sort of generally with the Manx Viking Wheelers are putting on a big series for adults, which are on the open roads or down at Jerby. So if you look on their website, there's a whole list of events that you can join. And they've done quite a bit of work sort of trying to tailor the races and what they put on to what people can do. Whereas we used to follow a calendar, which was brilliant because they had time trials, 10-mile time trials. They've mixed the whole thing up now so that people can have little tastes of every type of race, and then so it satisfies most people's needs. And then sort of from our point of view, we go to the British rounds, we go to the Northwest rounds, we go to the track twice a year. So we've sort of covered all the up to 16 races. And then, of course, when they get between juniors, 16 and 18, then the junior utmost takes over, and they go off, and I believe they're going to France shortly. So everything's sort of geared up for that. But on the local scene, if you go to the Manx Viking Wheelers website, you'll find all the races advertised there. And there's lots going on the local scene over the weekends and sometimes during the week. The Manx Youth Tour is coming shortly at the start of May, and it's a two-day event starting at the bottom of Ellerslie. So anybody who's down the NSC who's got a droppy bike, under 8, under 10, under 12, under 14 and under 16, both boys and girls, are all catered for. And if they come down the NSC, we can sort them out and get, you know, they can enter that. And it's a great experience because a lot of people will be coming from across and the kids will be able to race against the top riders in Britain.
Generally looking forward over the whole season. From the junior cycling perspective here on the Isle of Man, what would you class as a successful season?
I think every season is successful in different ways. You know, I think it's keeping the cycling fresh and, you know, encouraging, no matter what standard they are. You know, we have little kids that come down, and the best time down at the cycling, they do their lap round the NSC, and then they have a bit of a play with their friends and everything. And I think just making it available for everybody, whether they want to be Mark Cavendish or whoever, they've got that opportunity. So it's just make sure it's enjoyable and that they're doing everything safely and the parents enjoy it. We have people who come down to watch the kids cycling. It's really sort of quite special. You know, if you haven't been down the NSC and you want to see kids race, and you'd be amazed. I mean, I'm in awe every year, and you see these little kids sort of, you know, weaving through the pack and everything, and it's just amazing to watch. And it's a good spectator sport. So if you're passing the NSC on a Tuesday night, just come down and have a watch. It's great to watch, and there's lots of things going on down there, and but particularly the cycling, it is a spectator sport. We have lots of people who maybe have nothing to do with cycling coming down. We used to have it in TT week, and people would sort of pop in, motorbike visitors, but we don't have it now because it's so difficult with first aid cover and marshals and everything. So we don't have it in TT week and practice week. But other weeks, if it's fine, we do have open house to everyone.
Thank you for having the stamina to make it to the end of the Manx Radio Sportscast. You're clearly someone who has their eye on the ball at all times. Want to hear more about the latest sporting news across the Isle of Man and much more? Then might I recommend you take the plunge and subscribe to this series or a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so that, in a flash, all of our finest moments take a winner's place on your smartphone. Thank you.